Seven blessings, everyone. If you can please kneel, we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us with your presence once again on Sabbath day. Thank you for opening up your truth to us and blessing us with a desire to please you. Thank you also for letting us see your hand move upon your people. Everything from answering our prayers to blessing our faith, our wisdom, our discernment, giving us the character of your Son, as well as the courage. And thank you also for the strength that you give us when we see those that we love walking away from this truth, to be able to stand firm in our faith that you will either water the seeds that have been planted, or you'll give us the strength to deal with their decisions. We understand the shaking, and we know at times it's hard to deal with and hard to see, but that will be done. And thank you also, Father God, for helping us in all the weak areas of our life and for blessing everyone on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. And so bless us, Father, as we go into our study. Bless us with the understanding that we need. And thank you again for changing the showbread on Sabbath day. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Okay, we're in Great Controversy, chapter 32. I read that one backwards. But 32, and it's titled Snares of Satan. And we're down on page, looks like the very top of page 521. It's hard to tell with the way they have these page numbers listed. Anyway, it does say, in order to sustain erroneous doctrines or unchristian practices, some will seize upon passages of Scripture separated from the context, perhaps quoting half of a single verse as proving their point, when the remaining portion would show the meaning to be quite the opposite. And this is why the Christian denominations, well, the Christian church has over 3,000 denominations today. This is why people are being shaken out of our number as well, because some people just don't want to believe it the way it is written. Or some even go so far as to, like most of the people will avoid the context of the passage, as she's saying here. But in these last days, some people are even going so far as to delete Bible verses. But that's going to be the end result of people embracing the NIV, the NASB, the Douay Rheims, and all the other weird Bibles that the Catholic Church has removed thousands and thousands of verses out of them. When they see the Catholic Church doing that, they get a subconscious, subconscious approval that they could do it too. And this is why you see some people claiming certain Bible verses should be removed from the scriptures in regards to the Godhead. Or they'll look at the Bible verses that speak of the week of Daniel and believe it's a future event, taking the complete chronological order of the prophecy out of context and putting the most beautiful prophecy ever mentioned in regards to Jesus Christ dying for us on the cross and putting it at the end of the world as if that's a future event. Because Daniel prophesied about the Messiah coming and being killed for our sins. But so many today are saying that, no, that's a future event, and it's not talking about this, Jesus. It's talking about a 7-year tribulation period and all that. But they can't find a single Bible verse to back that up. They could only find Scofield's reference notes to back that up. So this is what she's getting at here, along with other doctrines like the once saved, always saved doctrine that the Baptists preach, or the Trinity doctrine that the Catholics preach, or the SDAs, they preach it too now. So, I mean, it's just par for the course. And it takes, it is also one of the reasons for the shaking, too, because when we preach the Bible as it is written, it angers people. They may hang with us for a little while, but eventually they'll get to a point where they'll say, okay, enough's enough. They can't give up certain traditions of men or doctrines of demons, not even realizing that they are doing such a thing. Because the Bible also says, a strong delusion shall be sent them, those who do not love the truth. And so they'll actually believe what they're preaching or what they're teaching and what they embrace is truth, when in fact, the Bible in their own hands says otherwise. And this is why Sisoite's touching on this particular thing here. She says, with the cunning of the serpent, they entrench themselves behind disconnected utterances construed to suit their carnal desires. And here's a good way of looking at that is, a lot of churches, and I did a video about this, about the pioneers and all this stuff, or, you know, they assume that, and the Catholic Church did this first. It's called putting the creed before the scripture. And they have, like, the Apostles' Creed, the Catholic Church has. And they make up this creed, and if the Bible speaks against that creed in any way, shape, or form, rather than change their creed, they change their Bibles. And this is what those ministries out there that preach Jesus Christ doesn't exist, or the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, or Jesus isn't God, are doing. They have a creed, a specific creed. And there are some Bible verses that prove that they're in error. Like she's saying here, they're taking it out of context or are actually deleting it. And rather than change their creed, they change their Bibles. And that's not going to help them. At the end of the 1,000 years, when that deception is wiped clear of their minds, it's not going to help them at all. They're going to know for a fact what they did was wrong. Even though they know what they're doing is wrong now, it's just a subconscious understanding because their minds have been so clouded by Satan for following him for so many years that they really don't get it yet. They will get it when his power is removed. And there's only two ways to get Satan's power removed. Number one, become a real Christian. Or number two, wait till the 1,000 years is ending. At the end of the 1,000 years, when his power is removed then, and then that deception is wiped clear of their minds. It's the only other way of getting it removed. All right, so, thus do many willfully pervert the word of God. Others who have an active imagination seize upon the figures and symbols of the Holy Writ, interpret them to suit their fancy, with little regard to the testimony of Scripture as its own interpreter. And they present their vagaries as the teachings of the Bible. That's Schofield in a nutshell. That's more or less those Schofield reference notes in the 1910 Bible, the King James Schofield reference Bible. I have one here. Because it's easy to use that as, and I don't use that Bible, even though it's got a solid King James in it. The reference notes is what I like to show people. It says, look at the gap theory here. Look at how he goes from one passage and then skips 30 or 40 verses to go to the next. He doesn't explain anything in between. He can't. Because his theology doesn't match that which is written. And in other words, the ultimate vagary, extreme vagary. So she says, whenever the study of the scriptures is entered upon without a prayerful, humble, teachable spirit, the plainest and simplest, as well as the most difficult passages, will be wrested from their true meaning. And that's one of the powers of the scripture, by the way. This is why it's called the living word. A theologian, who, of course, calls himself a theologian, or a doctor of divinity who calls him such, you know, and they could even have an IQ that just tips the scales at 140, 150, you know, or even 160. They can have this, you know, ever learning but never coming to the knowledge brain, and they could have all this so-called education, and the plainest and simplest, as well as the difficult passages, they can't be grasped by these people. But a babe in Christ who has a heart after God's heart, like David, for example, when he was young and older, they'll get it. It'll click in their minds. And this is, of course, what you're going to be seeing in the remnant people, especially when that latter rain starts falling more abundantly, because that will only fall on those that the Lord knows before the rain falls that they can be trusted with that rain. Because the trials you're going through now are there for a reason. He needs to know. He needs to know for a fact that you're going to be there for him when he needs you to be there for him. Because he can't entrust that latter rain on just anybody. I mean, even the CEOs of large corporations are very careful as to who they put in certain positions. Why would God be any different? As a matter of fact, he's infinitely more careful than they are. which is obvious, by the way. These big, large corporations fold, collapse, and cause all sorts of economic disasters. But anyway, she goes on to say that the papal leaders select such portions of Scripture as best serve their purpose, interpret to suit themselves, and to present these to the people, while they deny them the privilege of studying the Bible and understanding the sacred truths for themselves. And this, what they did in the old days was just, they would burn all the Bibles that were written in the native tongue of your particular area, and then they would then translate the Bible into Latin, a dead language. There is not a person on this planet that's born speaking Latin, or has parents that, you know, speak Latin, and then they're born into that type of life. It's just not, that died with the Roman government. And it was bad that they would translate the Bible into Latin. This is why Martin Luther, you know, translated it into German. It caused the Great Reformation, because when the people finally got the Bible in their hands and realized what was written, oh, they left that church in droves. And that's why they wanted to kill Hitler so badly. And they did kill some of his cohorts, his friends. But it's bad enough they translated it in Latin. They would put the Bible in the church with the doors wide open. You can go in and read the Bible anytime you want, but it was chained to a small pulpit. But the pulpit was, well, I wouldn't say it was small. Well, it was small in its girth, but it was like, it usually was around 4.5 to 5 feet. No, I would say 5.5 to 6 feet tall, the pulpits. They were specifically designed to where you would either have to try to climb up the side of the pulpit and hold onto it and look at the Bible verses and then fall off every 5-10 minutes because your fingers just can't hold on anymore. And there was never any little stools anywhere around, and you couldn't bring anything into the church. And they made it next to impossible to read it, because if you happened to learn Latin, which they were definitely afraid of if you did, they made it very difficult for you to read it, even if you understood Latin. So she goes on, the whole Bible should be given to the people just as it reads. It would be better for them not to have Bible instruction at all than to have the teaching of the Scriptures thus grossly misinterpreted, or misrepresented, rather. And this is what's going on in today's world. Their creeds, like when people ask you, what's your denomination? That always irks me. But the only reason we answer the question nowadays is because we have to separate ourselves from those other denominations now. You have to claim a denomination, at least to some extent, to let them know that you're not part of the SDA Church, or you're not part of these other churches that are like the Shepherd's Rod or these other strange SDA spinoffs. You know, truth is, I've never even was an SDA. I was Roman Catholic, so I'm not even considered an SDA spinoff. But they'll still say I am, for whatever reasons they think is valid, you know. But the fact that they say such a thing shows two things. Number one, either they're a liar or they don't do their research properly. And so they're sending out lack of information. So, but like I was saying there, the creeds is what grossly misrepresents the Scriptures, because people look at the Bible or they read the Bible in accordance to what their pastor says it means, he says it's saying. You know, they never... Yeah, and especially if you got churches with presidents or worse yet, a pope. Because if you have a hard time understanding a Bible verse in those churches, you have to ask the president, or you have to ask the pope, or look in the prelate's writings and see what they think the Bible verse means. There's really no one that you can trust in those kind of churches to give you. They'll give you their opinion. And that's one of the things I noticed when I was a Catholic. I would ask the priest what a specific Bible verse means, and he never, ever, not once in all the 29 years that I was a Catholic, did he ever direct me to another Bible verse to say, okay, this is what that means. Because that's how Jesus taught, and that's what got me to understand better. After I left the Catholic Church and I started reading the Bible for itself, I found that with cross-referencing, you can find out what the verses mean just by letting the other verses in the Old Testament explain them, or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is one of the reasons they're, you know, four different perspectives of the same gospel. You'll get a better understanding as to four different ways of explaining it. But still, even with the New Testament, like the epistles and stuff like that, you can find some references to what Paul is talking about, or even Peter or Luke or Timothy or any of them back in the Old Testament. You can see what they're referring to, because that's the only Bible that they had at that time anyway. And so, like Jesus did, he would explain the verse. He would explain the Bible using the verses. And no, they didn't. He didn't even use New Testament, because he was writing it right then. So she goes on. The Bible is designed to be a guide to all. who wish to become acquainted with the will of their Maker. God gave to men the sure word of prophecy. Angels, and even Christ himself, came to make known to Daniel and John the things that must shortly come to pass. Those important matters that concern our salvation were not left involved in mystery. They were not revealed in such a way as to perplex and mislead the honest seeker after truth. And I like that too, the honest seeker, because just like she was saying a minute ago, some just can't embrace it. They can't understand it. That's why, you know, I still look at the Bible as the most powerful book on the planet, because like a, you know, like a theologian with an IQ of 180 and a babe in Christ, you know, with an IQ of say 100, can both read the exact same Bible passage. The theologian will come off way out in left field with some explanation as to what it means, and the babe in Christ will have the Holy Spirit telling them what it means, and then leading them to another Bible verse that defines it. In other words, the babe in Christ is the honest seeker after the truth. And then she says, said the Lord by the prophet Habakkuk, write the vision and make it plain, that he may run that readeth it. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. The word of God is plain to all who study it with a prayerful heart. Every truly honest soul will come to the light of truth. Light is sown for the righteous. Psalm 97:11. And no church can advance in holiness unless its members are earnestly seeking for truth as for hid treasure. Like Jesus said, you know, the guy with the pearl he found in the field, he sold everything he had to buy that field. You have to earnestly seek after it. Those of us that want to be faith healers, seek after that which is in the Word to figure out, to find out how it is the Lord will bless you with a way to see his miraculous hand upon those you love, or even complete strangers. Those who want to preach, seek after him in the Word. Seek that truth as like a hidden treasure. Or if you just, you know, want to sweep floors in a church, it doesn't matter. Whatever you do, do to the glory of God. And even if you don't want to work in a church, working a 9-to-5 job, it really doesn't matter. If you seek after the truth as for a hidden treasure in your daily life, well, the light, your life is so much more blessed. You know, all of us, I would think, have already found that out. But the young ones that may be sitting nearby, this is one of the reasons for the peace that those that you are watching have. This is what got me to understand where to find that peace, back when I was starting to watch people around me that were claiming to be Christians, and I was seeking after the truth, but no one knew it, because I was still trying to be Mr. Pole Shooter that was cool, Mr. Macho, whatever. No one realized that I was crying out inside for the Lord, because I remembered him when I was a little kid, walking around in the prairies, talking to him, you know, looking for, you know, frogs and snakes, or toads and snakes. You ain't going to find many frogs in the prairie. So, and spiders, of course. Got to get the spiders. When you're 8 years old, forget about it. Spiders. So anyway, by the cry, liberality, men are blinded to the devices of their adversary, while he is all the time working steadily for the accomplishment of his object. As he succeeds in supplanting the Bible by human speculations, the law of God is set aside, and the churches are under the bondage of sin while they claim to be free. To many, scientific research has become a curse. Yeah, like those people that, you know, like, I wonder if she's going to touch on evolution here, but a lot of the scientists today, I mean, it's laughable. I you know, don't like laughing about it, but, you know, they believe that we came from monkeys. You know, they just can't see it, even though, and some of them, praise God, have actually found out that we didn't, and now they're out there pushing the creation message, even though they're scientists. Because it says, look, the scientific field, I mean, you got to look at it for what it is. You can't put your own hypothesis in there, just like what these all bogus denominations do. They assume this is what it means, and so they run within that direction. And if you want to stay in that church, and many SDAs that have, you know, become part of our number that have been disfellowshipped because you want to do what the Bible says and not what the church says, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So, yeah, amen to that. Good point. Science could prove God exists tomorrow if they wanted to, if they really, really wanted to. I mean, there are scientists out there, like Dr. Karl Baugh, for example, that has all this information about that overwhelmingly proves evolution is a lie on every single level. I mean, every single one of their cards in their house of cards is easily knocked down. You know, this is why there's so many people out there trying to push all these atheistic theologies and slam Dr. Carl because, you know, or why Dr. Dino ended up in prison for so-called tax evasion. Way too much evidence to prove they're lying. There is a God. So, going on. God has permitted a flood of light to be poured upon the world in discoveries in science and art, but even the greatest minds, if not guided by the Word of God in their research, become bewildered in their attempts to investigate the relations of science and revelation. That's one of the reasons we have the problems we have today. These so-called intelligent men can't see past their noses. They can't see past their own textbooks. They don't have the Word of God guiding them in anything. Boy, if they did, could you imagine? We would know. I mean, like the stuff that I learned about in regards to the pre-flood planet with the water floating above it, the firmament up there, and the double atmosphere, and and even in Creation Week, like Logan was mentioning there about the radio halos. I can't remember plutonium or platonium. I don't know if that's the right word there, but the way they overwhelmingly proved that granite was formed faster than you can actually snap your fingers. Overwhelmingly proving that the scientists are lying about the granite barrier that's in the crust of the earth took millions and millions of years to cool down. Well, if that's the case, then you would not have a single the halo from that polonium-214. Yeah, polonium-214, a radio halo. It wouldn't be there because that has a half-life of like one one-hundredth of a second. It has a half-life. So if it takes millions and millions of years, you'd never even know that halo would never be there. It wouldn't even leave any evidence. The halo was there because in a split second, that granite dried and that little radio thing left its halo a split second after, or less than a split second after it died, after it dried or solidified or whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's amazing. If our scientists of today would have gotten a hold of that, I don't think there'd be any wars and stuff to some extent. I mean, at least not with these giant nuclear bombs, because they would be more concerned with, you know, seeing the wonders of God rather than the wonders of man, like in making things explode. Whoop-de-doo, you made a bomb. Wow, you're something. I mean, that's so ridiculous. What have you got to show for it in your life? Say you're a scientist and you're dying at about the age of 80. What do you got to show it for? I made a really large firecracker. That's it. Really all you did. Anyway, human knowledge of both material and spiritual things is partial and imperfect. Therefore, many are unable to harmonize their views of science with scriptural statements. Many accept mere theories and speculations as scientific facts, and they think that God's word is to be tested by the teachings of science, falsely so-called, 1 Timothy 6:20. The Creator and His works are beyond their comprehension, and because they cannot explain these by natural laws, Bible history is regarded as unreliable. And they did that for, I don't know how many years, because I really know, I just remember getting the research after the fact, but I would think for at least 100 or 200 years, well, probably for thousands of years, some people were claiming that the Bible was bogus because it mentions a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, and there's no evidence whatsoever anywhere on the planet that a king Nebuchadnezzar ever even existed. You know, with the Hanging Gardens and this a wonderful city and all this other stuff. Well, that city was completely covered up after it was destroyed because of sin. You know, eventually it just got covered up by dust. And well, they excavated it, in the 1920s or 30s? And they found bricks, literally millions of bricks, with the name Nebuchadnezzar on it. See, they can claim what they want. They can say the Bible's unreliable, but all of a sudden, oops, looks like we found something else that confirms it. And this just keeps happening, especially in these last days. I don't know, at least once or twice a year I come across an article that I put on the website that talks about how they just found something else that they thought the Bible was lying about, that now, look, it's solidified, it's solid, it really does exist, kind of a thing. Anyway, she goes on to say that those who doubt the reliability of the records of the Old and New Testament too often go a step further and doubt the existence of God and attribute infinite power to nature. Like Mother Nature. Boy, I hate that term. Anyway, she goes, having let go their anchor, they are left to beat upon the rocks of infidelity. Thus, many err from the faith and are seduced by the devil. Men have endeavored to be wiser than their Creator. Human philosophy has attempted to search out and explain mysteries which will never be revealed through the eternal ages. If men would but search and understand what God has made known of himself and his purposes, they would obtain such a view of the glory, majesty, and power of Jehovah that they would realize their own littleness and would be content with that which has been revealed for themselves and their children. Let us reason together. Doesn't that say that? She says, it is a masterpiece of Satan's deceptions to keep the minds of men searching and conjecturing in regard to that which God has not made known and which he does not intend that we shall understand. It was thus that Lucifer lost his place in heaven. He became dissatisfied because all the secrets of God's purposes were not confided to him, and he entirely disregarded that which was revealed concerning his own work in the lofty position assigned him. By arousing the same discontent in the angels under his command, he caused their fall. Now he seeks to imbue the minds of men with the same spirit and to lead them also to disregard the direct commands of God. I mean, seriously, some of these denominations that are out there, like especially the most recent one that they're trying to push, that Jesus isn't God, the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. And I happen to mention that one a lot because it's really trying to flex its muscles lately, or even the Lunar Sabbath movement, where they're saying that you got to go to church on Sabbath and the Sabbath changes every single month. Yeah, try to keep a job with that theology, you know? And even though it is nowhere, this is the thing, it's nowhere to be found in the Bible. As a matter of fact, I did a whole page about showing how it's absolutely unequivocally impossible for there to be a Lunar Sabbath. It's impossible. I mean, there are so many Bible verses to back this up. But they ignore all that. They ignore, or like she says, they disregard the direct commands of God. They go by as to what men think. It's amazing when you look at the plethora of all these different theologies out there and all these people following after these men that come up with these crazy doctrines. But this was prophesied. This is supposed to happen. This is what we have to deal with in our lifetime. And this is why it's so very important to stay in your Bibles, and it's really important to stay away from people that you know for a fact are not in their Bibles. I mean, it's one thing to have an acquaintance. It's another thing to be hanging with these people or going to their convocations. If you know for a fact the Seventh-day Adventist Church is in apostasy and it is Babylon, why would you go to an SDA convocation? It's just like me wanting to go to a Sunday-keeping church just to hang with my buds. It makes no sense. You're going to be going in there on your own. How can two walk together except they be agreed? In other words, you, just like she said here a minute ago, if you do such a thing, would be placing God on the back burner as if you are smarter or wiser than he, like she's saying some of these people do. Because if the Bible says, how could two walk together except they be agreed, or touch not the unclean thing, and you touch the unclean thing, and you hang with people that don't agree with your theology, then you're literally calling your God a liar, just like Satan did. Because he said, don't go there. These are the kind of people that when Antichrist shows up on the planet, they're going to go there. they're failing tests left and right. Jesus said, don't go there, don't hang with them, don't yoke unequally. They go. And so when Antichrist shows up and Jesus says, don't go there, they're going to go. They didn't listen to him in the last three times he told them not to go. So they failed three tests already. What makes anybody think they're going to pass the big one when he starts to flex his muscles and he glorifies himself, Satan does, that is, out there in the world and says, I am Jesus, come here and I'll heal you. And then people are getting healed left and right, and they come up and say, hey, I was healed. Jesus is here. I just talked to him in the inner room. Come meet him, see him, and he'll heal you of whatever you're dealing with, right? They're going to go easily because they've passed they haven't been able to pass all the other previous tests. This is why these tests are given them. This is why the trials we're going through as well. She goes on. She says, those who are unwilling to accept the plain, cutting truths of the Bible are continually seeking for pleasing fables that will quiet the conscience. The less spiritual, self-denying, and humiliating the doctrines presented, the greater the favor with which they are received. Let me reread that. the less spiritual, the less self-denying, the less humiliating the doctrines presented, the greater the favor with which they are received. It's like people today, they'll tell you, I don't believe the Bible, but they believe the tabloids, hook, line, and sinker. You know, especially if with some of the, okay, here's a good one, Clark Gable. I remember when I was a kid, I heard about this, where Clark Gable wanted to divorce his wife, and this was in the 60s. He wanted to divorce her. So he goes to the church. I want to divorce my wife. Oh, you can't do that. The Bible says you can't do that. So he goes to the next church. I want to divorce my wife. Oh, you can't do that. The Bible says you can't do that. I said, okay. Unless she commits adultery, right? And says, okay, no, next church. And he just keeps going down the line until he finds a church that says, yes, you can divorce your wife. He joins that church and divorces his wife. In other words, the less spiritual, self-denying, and humiliating the doctrines presented, the greater the favor with which they are received. In other words, if you can let me, like, look at, I mean, case in point, Catholicism. You can get saved in your sins. She said, let me finish up this paragraph because we're running really, I got a minute left here. She says, these persons degrade the intellectual powers to serve their carnal desires, too wise in their own conceit to search the scriptures, with contrition of soul and earnest prayer for divine guidance. They have no shield from delusion. That is scary. That is very, very frightening to a child of God. No shield from delusion. And those that claim the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, guess what? No shield. Satan, she says, is ready to supply the heart's desire, and he palms off his deceptions in the place of truth. It was thus that the papacy gained its power over the minds of men, and by the rejection of the truth because it involves a cross. Protestants are following the same path. In other words, if there's a heavy cross to bear, if you got to go through these trials and tribulations, oh, no, thank you. Like Billy Joel said in his one song in the 70s, I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. This is what they believe. They believe because we have trials at times that they don't want anything to do with it because we're crying. Well, they don't seem to realize we go through our trials with smiles. They have the same trials. And they don't go through them with smiles. They go through them yelling and screaming and you know, glorifying their own flesh, which makes them feel like something's getting better. If you complain enough, oh, it makes it easier. You know, misery loves company. She says, all who neglect the word of God to study convenience and policy, that they may not be at variance with the world, will be left to receive damnable heresy for the religious truth. Every conceivable form of error will be accepted by those who willfully reject the truth, or, as the Bible calls it, that strong delusion shall be sent them. She says, he who looks with horror upon one deception will readily receive another. The Apostle Paul, speaking of a class who received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, declares, for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, I should have kept reading, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. If you know anybody that's dealing, you know, believing these strange doctrines, please show them 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12, and tell them. As far as the Bible is saying here, you are being deluded. You are being deceived. And then finishing up this little paragraph, she says, with such a warning before us, it behooves us to be on our guard as to what doctrines we receive. And it's amazing how some people don't even realize that. They put their eternal life in danger just for the sake of these strange doctrines. And that, I mean, you would think just having a leader in this movement say you have to remove some verses out of the Bible to make their doctrine work, or you got to ignore some statements from Sister White to make your doctrine work. That in itself should make you scream into the night to get out of that church. I praise God for the 10 years that my wife and I had after we left the Catholic Church, where we did the church hopping from one church to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, until we found this one 17 years ago, 18 maybe, is because all those churches, they had all these strange doctrines that none of them could match up in Scripture. Sometimes it took us a month, sometimes it took us 6 months to find this out. One, it took us 2 years. And then, boom, praise the Lord. He allowed us to go through that so that we could have the evidence as to what way is the proper way, that which is written and that which is written alone. I hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.